welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez. And we are in our new, or our part-time studio with our cool green screen with This Week on Channel 9 behind us. And by the way, thank you for coming back. You know, a lot of people were worried. They thought I had maybe done something to you.
Yeah.
And where you been?
So, let's see. 2 weeks of vacation in Italy. And then I went to Tech Ed Europe.
Okay.
And we had a PDC in there, too.
Okay.
And then I had actually just got back last night from Tech Ed Israel.
Tech Ed Israel. So how was that?
It was great. Yeah. Airport security, not so fun. But,
okay.
But the conference was awesome, and lots of really talented, excited developers over there. So thanks for having me, guys.
Sweet.
Cool.
So let's get right into it, because a lot of stuff. In fact, there was an event that happened today and is still going on while we're filming, which is Silverlight Firestarter.
Oh, yeah. While I was out, I heard Silverlight's dead. So is that what this
yes.
is all about?
Yes, that's clearly Scott Goo went through an hour-long presentation of how it's actually dying
Good.
In
really
the new
just
version.
Put that nail in the coffin. So GPU accelerated 3D.
Yes, full 3D, baby.
Okay, so this isn't the perspective 3D that we're used to in the
Correct.
Past. This is full 3D. Okay.
Correct. Media mode graphics. So the idea there is something like Canvas or GDI Plus, where you can draw stuff and not have references to it.
Okay.
Trick play, which I love, which is the ability to watch something 1.5 or 2x speed.
Yeah.
So that way you can get through videos faster. Windows Media Player has this. Now Silverlight's going to have this as a built-in. I want this for Channel 9.
Oh, this would be sweet.
I definitely want this for Channel 9.
Yeah, so you can consume an hour's worth of content in 30 minutes if you need to. Or you can take Channel 9, which is traditionally, or This Week on Channel 9, which is traditionally about 20 minutes, and you can extend it to last an entire hour if you need to.
That would be awesome.
So what else? So that's live stream to an iPad.
Custom markup extension. So if you're using MEVM, like Laurent Bugnot's MEVM Lite, the idea is you have to add in a special namespace for interactions.triggers and then build an I command. I mean, it's a clean interface for how he's done it, but this just makes it that much easier to basically say, take this event and map it to a method in a view model. So instead of doing code behind, you actually have a view model, and I'm calling in that view model based on the context.
Okay, and then p-invoke, so you can get access to platform-specific stuff.
For out-of-browser applications.
Yep.
And the other big one is multiple windows in out-of-browser applications. The idea is, you know, when you have IE9 and you have multiple windows up, you get full thumbnail previews.
Yeah.
You'll be able to do that with Silverlight. So before they didn't even have where you could spawn off a new window, now you can spawn off multiple windows. Say I'm doing a data entry application and I need to spawn off for 3 customers, I can have it and actually get the full thumbnail. So it gets the ability, all the nice, rich features of the platform, preview thumbnails within multiple windows.
Wow, that's cool. So what you're telling me is HTML5 is dead.
I think that's basically what we're saying.
Got it.
So next thing that we'll see here is John Papa got to do a bunch of demos, and kudos to John and, of course, Nick Fillingham, who's probably spent his last night stressing about making sure the Silverlight Firestarter was successful. John showed one of my favorite features, data binding debugging. So the idea is I can add a breakpoint to XAML code. I set a context of, hey, here's where you're going to get your data from, this view model, this service, whatever it is. I want to set a breakpoint in the XAML. When you hit that breakpoint, you can actually go in and you'll see on that locals window all the details that you need to see. So you can see if there's an exception thrown, because if you're just running the app, that exception it quietly goes away. So now you can actually see that there's an exception, what it's looking for, make sure that you're in the right path. So you may be on the top level, and you need to be on the sub level, if you will, so you can find out kind of where you are and where you need to be.
That's one of my favorite features about IntelliTrace, is that you can find all these exceptions that the runtime stack is just, you know, catching for you automatically, but maybe impacting your performance, so you can go back and look at it. So that's cool to see you can do similar things here in your XAML.
Now, the other thing, just moving right along here, is there were some cool demos. We see the 3D example of Scott Goo, which shows that perspective 3D, where you can actually take in layers and turn them off. So you see that T-shirt layer, that red polo?
Yep.
Take that right off. So you actually see that Scott Goo has six-pack abs.
Awesome.
That was actually the keynote revelation.
Yeah.
And then Crescent. So what's Crescent about?
So Crescent is a just a good example of how Microsoft itself is betting on Silverlight for our own technologies. It's a preview of what's going to be coming in SQL Server for their BI stack so that you can visualize data in really interesting ways. And so you should really, if you haven't already, you should go back and take a look at the demo just because the visualizations that they're able to enable with Silverlight are just mind-blowing.
Yeah, totally agree. So next thing is, you want to know all the stuff, because we've only touched the surface on even just the keynote announcements. Mm-hmm. Tim Heuer has the rundown, the official rundown stuff, even some stuff that wasn't in the keynote for what's coming in Silverlight 5. Just as one example, the digital rights management advancements allow seamless switching between DRM media sources. So I guess that was an issue before. Who knew? Wasn't in the keynote. You can find out about it via Tim.
Got it. Have they talked to anything about, did you see anything that's specific to Silverlight on Windows Phone?
No.
Okay.
No. I think we are saving those for, say, another event.
Got it.
If only there was, you know, a massive event in Barcelona on mobile phone and or other events in the future.
Interesting. So here's another one, speaking of announcements. So coded UI tests for Silverlight, something that's near and dear to my heart, is actually the fact that you can do automated UI testing with Silverlight 4 applications now. So this is Silverlight 4. It's available today as a feature pack to Visual Studio. So if you're an MSDN subscriber, you can go get this. And the idea here is that I can record a path through my application, and then I can add a bunch of assertions to that application so that, let's say, every night after my automated builds run, I can run through those tests on my Silverlight 4 application, and it will interact with the application just like a user would. So it's using the mouse and keyboard, and then it can inspect the application as well. So that's really cool, and I'll talk more about that later on.
Yeah, so I was unfamiliar with this until I saw John Papa give a demo, again, just to give him a shout-out in the keynote, because he did great. Those are the two features that where I was like, oh, my God, I love them. Oh, my God, can I have them now? And the idea here is it's very similar to people that have used the web test recorder.
Yeah.
Opens up the app, it records things, you can go in and delete certain clicks, like,
yep,
oops, I clicked this, but don't worry about me moving the window around if it,
yep,
was recording the mouse move. Actually shows you the click event, and then you can do the assertion, assume, you know, for John's it was that the book author is this person,
yeah,
check whether it's true or false.
Yeah, and you can data bind that stuff. What else? You can, it's not exactly like the web recorder. The web recorder actually captures HTTP traffic. So when you play back a web recording test, it's not even interacting with the browser at all. It just simulates the web request back and forth. But when you do a coded UI test, it actually opens up the window and clicks through it. And if you touch the mouse and keyboard, you're going to interfere with the test. So it's a much more realistic test in terms of what your users are going to be doing and seeing.
Yeah, and in that sense, it actually records the amount of time it took as well, right?
Yeah, and you can choose to either play back with the actual time that you recorded with, or you can play back as fast as we can detect what controls are going on. So, for example, if there's a data grid control, we can tell that data grid is actually being populated by the server, and we'll wait until that's done before we perform any validation against that. On the other hand, if you have a custom control, we can't necessarily detect that there's an asynchronous operation going on, which is doing something with that control. And so instead, what you can do is you can hard code a wait time. So you can say, wait 5 seconds while my control goes out.
There's no way to say, don't call this function until this completed.
You could do that too. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's code, right? So you can do whatever you want.
Okay, great. So you saved my life. Love coded UI tests.
Yeah.
So next thing, now Azure.
Azure 1.3. So we made a lot of announcements at PDC, and
yeah,
now those features that we talked about at PDC are available. So
VM role.
I love that one. Remote desktop. So you can remote desktop into your Azure roles, and you can make additional changes.
I think it'd be hilarious, like, you know, if you're an IT person that's managing a bunch of servers, to just change like all your VM role like backgrounds to like lolcats or something, just to like mess with somebody. It's like I just went into the instance, and I think there might be a virus. There's a ICANN has cheeseburger and
nice.
For the patty cake cats. Have you seen the patty cake cats?
You have way too much free time on your hands. Full IIS support in a web role, elevated privileges, virtual network. This is cool. So you can actually take Azure roles and you can join them to, say, your corporate network, for example. So that's awesome.
And a bunch of stuff just in terms of the dev tools as well, bringing cloud storage. Now, one thing to mention, that's Windows Azure Connect. That's actually in a CTP, just
oh,
so
okay.
people know. It
Got
is
it.
In a CTP. The virtual machine role is in a beta. So Just things to keep in mind.
Okay.
But lots to play with.
Yeah, for sure.
Moving right along, next is BCL Extensions. So BCL Extensions is a CodePlex project built by some of the guys who built LLB Gen Pro, including Franz Bauma, which is where I found out about it. It's extensions to .NET data types. So this is the type extension method. So you can see if I can just basically walk up to a type and say whether it's a nullable value, get the full type name, and so forth. And there's a bunch in here for like hash set or string to do a string.format instead of having to do different ways to instead of having to do string.format, you can just say on a string type dot, and it'll give you that extension method to do the format as one example.
So let's just back up for a second for people that aren't familiar with extension methods. So
yes.
So I've got the base class library. It's part of the .NET framework. These are extension methods which are built
a collection of extension methods for common data types built by the guys who did LLB Gen Pro.
So it's not provided by Microsoft.
Not provided by Microsoft.
But it extends the functionality you'll find in the .NET framework.
Yeah, which is really what all extension methods do. This is just a collection of handy ones.
Got it. That's cool.
Maybe a best way to say it. So,
what's next?
Let's see what's next. Currency converter. So Pedro Lamas.
So this would actually have been very helpful for me as I've been bouncing from country to country. So this is a currency converter. Of course, there are several available on the Windows Phone 7 app marketplace. But what's nice about this is that the source code's available. It's out on Coding for Fun. So you can go out and you can see how to do things like call web methods so that you can run simple conversions.
Yeah, and it's free, of course.
Of course.
Cool stuff to be able to play with, especially if you haven't built an app. You can kind of see how an app that's actually passed certification, because a lot of people are asking how you do that. Mm-hmm. Here's an example.
Yeah, and I love how the Coding for Fun brand is now including, like is currency conversion fun? But anyway, that's a whole other topic. So.
Next up, moving right along. OCAPI and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. OCAPI is actually how it's pronounced.
OCAPI.
Never mind. So Thomas Lewis was talking to me just yesterday about Endless Mural. So the idea is there was a project called endlessmural.com. It was working with some folks. And Mike Swanson's Adobe Illustrator to Canvas plugin. But basically they built this Endless Mural. That is, imagine like a thing where anybody can tag and it just kind of never ends. You can keep scrolling and people keep adding stuff. It's sort of like a living art project.
Okay.
Right? The idea is they built OCAPI so that you could actually, anybody can take this and implement their own version of it. So you can have your endless mural of fans of Warcraft or, Windows Home Server haters can all be together in one endless mural.
Like a Jennifer Aniston mural I could have?
Angelina Jolie mural.
I don't see why you would want to do that. But
it would have to be endless.
Oh,
it would have to be endless.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's that good.
Okay, this seems like one of those things I have to check out for myself. I'm not really
sure. Yeah, definitely check it out. It's really showing kind of the bleeding edge of things you can do with HTML5 and that don't require a browser plugin.
Got it. So HTML5 is not dead.
It may not be dead.
Okay.
Based
because
on this project.
Endless. Got
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
All right. I understand now.
Boom.
Paging using JTemplate, jQuery, and JSON.
Yeah. So the idea is here is you can build a template for how you want your data to appear, and you can dynamically change the JSON data that binds it. Almost like the exact same idea of data binding in ASP.NET or XAML. I build a template, and that data can be dynamically changed. So this shows you how to do it with jQuery, calling an AJAX call, and actually retrieving that data via JSON.
Got it. Okay. Next. CodePlex supporting LiveWriter. So this is
pretty cool. I love it.
So I love LiveWriter. I've used that for all my blog entries. Really nice, rich text, and easy to include graphics as well. Another nice thing about it. If you're a CodePlex project owner and you want to go out and maintain your project with CodePlex, now more power to you.
Let me give you just one example. Like I was doing the add-on studio for World of Warcraft. We had like 10 screenshots. You had to browse, upload, and then make sure you had the exact path for the images.
Yeah.
Such a pain. Now with LiveWriter, you probably get
you
the ability to Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like a whole IDB, really.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So definitely check that out, and kudos to the CodePlex team for delivering value.
Yes. But are you implying that they don't always deliver value?
No,
they're cutting edge.
They're
continuing to push the envelope.
Cutting edge.
I agree. Okay.
So, got to give them love.
Love those guys. Was that a cow fade?
I think I just saw a sheep fade. That was so bizarre.
Wow.
And yet so appropriate for our next topic.
This is like...
Link extender.
It's like Fight Club. There's subliminal stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Link extender. So if you want to build your own link provider, this is an abstraction on top of the usual APIs in order to do that. So it makes it much easier to build your own link to sheep.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So it's for, you know, it's kind of a low-level thing because there aren't that many people building link providers. Mm-hmm. But if you are one, rather than build everything from scratch, use link provider.
Okay. Well, McDonald had a farm. Next. That was boring.
Okay. So
VB for Windows Phone 7. So originally, C# was the only supported language for Windows Phone 7, but the Visual Basic team has been hard at work collaborating with that team, and now you can actually download the official version of VB support for Windows Phone 7. So Jason Zander has a nice blog post here where he takes you through that and takes you through
and
some code examples.
And his tip calculator app. He
yes,
walks through
right.
the Visual Basic version of that. Now, one thing to remember for customers is XNA is not supported in Visual Basic.
Ah, okay, so this is for Silverlight apps only.
Silverlight apps only.
Okay, so
important
XNA
point
is bad.
To remember.
Got it.
XNA is... Wait, what?
What? Huh? And so it's my pick of the week. We talked about the Silverlight support that you can get for coded UI testing your applications with Feature Pack 2, but I did want to briefly cover some of the other features that are available now in Feature Pack 2.
Sure.
First of all, Feature Pack 2 includes a roll-up of Feature Pack 1, so that gives you all the design and modeling capabilities.
So I don't have to install twice.
You don't have to install twice.
You
get things like visualizing your websites, visualizing your native code, that's really cool. Then the other things that are new to Feature Pack 2 include testing support for Firefox. So what I can do is I can now record in IE, so you still have to record in IE, but then you can play back in Firefox just by basically specifying current browser equals Firefox, and then you can do the same thing within Microsoft Test Manager where you're doing the fast forward for manual testing. You can say play back in Firefox. And that's really nice because the DOM is what we're testing there, so what may render fine in IE may render differently in Firefox or vice versa, of course. And then the last thing is really critical for anybody who's building and maintaining robust coded UI tests, and that is the coded UI test editor. So previously, I would record a coded UI test, and it would dump all the code, and then I'd have to hand maintain that code. The coded UI test editor allows me to double-click and open everything in a graphical editor so that I can remove steps, I can refactor my code, so if there's a piece that I want to do multiple times, I want to move that out to its own method and then put that in a for loop, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can also change what are called the search and filter properties for my controls. So search controls are looking for all the controls that exist on a page, which maybe give me all the buttons. And then filter properties may say, give me the buttons that match this specific
that are
name.
Enabled.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. Yeah. So
love it.
If you're doing anything with coded UI tests, definitely go check that out.
Yeah. The pay now shouldn't be enabled until you've entered your credit card number.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. So my pick of the week, it's burning my retina. God. So this is a Photoshop that Larry had done, and I'm not actually sure who Jake and Ann are, but this is highly disturbing. I don't know if you can see the detail on the two tattoos. The guy's got the Channel 9 tattoo.
Yeah.
The woman, the Popfly tattoo.
Oh, nice.
There's no J Sharp tattoo here, but that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
And that picture is actually one that I sent around for Movember.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The idea was Movember's a charity where they raise money for prostate cancer.
Against prostate. We're anti-prostate cancer.
Anti-prostate cancer.
Okay.
Yes, for prostate cancer research.
Okay.
And a bunch of people inside Microsoft, we're going to jump to a clip, actually did shave November 1st and then grew out their mustache. So now that December's over, my mustache is now gone.
Thank goodness. And you wonder why I haven't been on the show for 4 weeks.
That's exactly why.
So if people want to donate to the cause, we'll give them a link. They can still donate to you?
I think they can. Sure.
Okay.
I hope
Sounds
so.
Good. Let's make it happen, and let's go to the clip, and we'll see you next
And kudos to the Movember people for putting this all together, for the Microsoft Movember folks.
That's right.
We're here because we have a bunch of great guys who've grown mustaches for Movember.
Movember is a charity event that started in Australia with a couple of people that wanted to raise some money for cancer research.
It works in cooperation with the Lance Armstrong Foundation to really just find the cure for prostate cancer, which actually affects one out of every three men in the world. And the surprising thing about that is one out of every six men is going to be diagnosed in their lifetime, and one out of every three men is going to be affected one way or another.
The Windows team itself has raised about $7,000.
It started spreading grassroots, and we got about 165 participants to donate. I think the latest number was over $30,000 or something.
This is about 4 weeks' worth.
The rules for Movember is you had to shave November 1st and then have 4 weeks of mustache fun.
For guys, it's a great excuse just to kind of be silly and have fun with one another.
It's kind of been interesting to meet different people around the company that are participating in Movember, and if nothing else, I'm excited to actually shave this off.
The girlfriend hates it.
I think I'm done with the mustache. I'm sick of the angry looks that I get from parents. You know, it's
probably not as easy to hang around the schoolyards now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.